Good morning. Here we are on January 4th, our first Sunday fellowship of the new year, and we're going to talk about newness always. There is always newness. There are always new things. God always has new things in store for us. The past is always past, and the future is always as bright as the promises of God. So we'll read some sections of scripture that talk about newness and looking forward to the great things God has for us. Let's start in Psalm 56. Psalm 56, please. Oh, 59. All the verses I wanted weren't there. Let's try again. Try Psalm 50. 59. Okay, and verse 16. But I will sing of thy power. It doesn't say I will sing of everything wrong in the world, because there's always a lot of things wrong in the world. I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy, thy loving kindness in the morning. That's what I'll talk about, because it's a new day. And I'm going to wake up not thinking, oh, what a mess I'm in, and all these problems, and all this stuff I don't want to do, and those people are so nasty to me, and oh, gee whiz, nope. I will sing aloud of thy loving kindness in the morning. Because no matter what's going on in the world, and there's always stuff going on around the world, and some of it's in our personal lives and in the broader world, some things are really good and some things aren't. But no matter, I will sing aloud of thy loving kindness in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. So do we have days of trouble? Sure. But we have a defense and a refuge. God's loving kindness. Verse 17, unto thee, O my strength. Think of it. He calls God his strength. A lot of the times we think our strength is our mental abilities to figure out or our determination to go get stuff done. And those are very important. It's very important to have mental abilities and determination. But at the end of the day, it's God that's our strength. Like we always say, do you do your best and God will do the rest. And if you had to have a theme for this year, that would be a great one. You do everything you can to make your life work and help those around you, but realizing you can't do everything, just know that God will fill in the gaps and he'll do whatever else is needed. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. How about Psalm 5? Here we go. Psalm 5. All right, Psalm 5 and verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken, listen unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. And we'll look up, because it's a new day. What's it say in the epistles? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before. And we're living in newness of life. Well, that's what we do. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. I'm going to look up to thee. There used to be a show on TV when I was very young called Look Up and Live. I thought, what a great title. Look up to God and live your life. So in the morning, again, we wake up every morning. There's always good things and challenges. Well, direct your prayer to God and look up. And that's your answer. Don't expect everything to be perfect in the world, but do expect no matter how things are in the world, that God will bless you and he'll take care of you. Psalm 55. Here we go. Psalm 55 and verse 16. As for me, I will call upon the God, and the Lord shall save me. Isn't that great? You're sitting around with a bunch of people, and they're just complaining and about everything, which people like to do. And whether you say it out loud or think it in your heart, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. You guys can have all the gripes and complaints you want. Go right ahead. But as for me, I'm going to call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall what? Hear my voice. Isn't that awesome? Evening, morning, and noon I'll pray. He'll hear my voice. Other people may listen. Sometimes you have people you work with, whether they're friends, neighbors, coworkers, relatives, all kinds of people. They may hear your voice, and they may be very helpful. Or they might totally ignore you and totally not answer and just leave you to wallow in your problems because they don't want to help. That happens to all of us sometimes every day, sometimes once a month, sometimes once a year. But it's going to happen. But evening and morning at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. But I love verse 16. As for me, I don't know what you're going to do, but as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Isn't that wonderful? So how about Psalm 92? We have a great new year to live, and let's expect this one to be the best ever. We've all had some wonderful years and some that were a bit more challenging. But do you know what? We have a new year to live, so let's expect it to be the best ever. And sure, you don't have this, and you don't have that, and you don't have the other thing you had back in the day. But look what you do have. Just add up all the things God's blessed you with. Maybe make a list of good things in your life and things God's provided. And then look at these scriptures that every day is a new day, trusting God and God blessing us. What a great life. Psalm 92 and verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. So if you can't figure out what to do, got too much going on, you feel pressure, there's 100 variables, which one do I pay attention to? Well, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. This is a verse we've, of course, read before, but to show forth or declare. So when you're up in the morning going about your business, maybe going out to work or out on an errand, just declare that God loves you and he's going to take care of you. And then when you get done at night and you're settling in for the evening, just talk about God's faithfulness. So tomorrow's a Monday morning, the first business day, probably the first Monday of the new year. Wake up and just think about how much God loves you. And then when you settle in tomorrow evening, think about how faithful he was to take care of you. This could have gone wrong and that could have gone wrong. But by the grace of God, God's faithfulness was with me all the day. So everything worked. And even those things that didn't work, I still got through alive, and we'll pray for them to be better tomorrow. Verse 3, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. Through what God did, it made him glad. And then at the end of verse 5 is one I really like, and thy thoughts are very deep. They used to have a session on Saturday Night Live many years ago called Deep Thoughts. They'd all be sitting around discussing deep thoughts. And they might have been deep, but not as deep as God's. God's thoughts are very deep. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. How about Psalm 119? Here we go. Psalm 119. Verse 145. A lot of verses there. 145. I cried with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I preceded the dawning of the morning and cried." So before the sun even came up, I cried to you, and I hoped in thy word. My positive expectation was that God's word would be fulfilled and God would take care of me. Hear my voice, verse 149, according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me, make me alive according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. But thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimony, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. So let's say you're having a tough time sleeping because you're worried about this, that, and the other thing. Well, precede the dawning of the morning. Start praying early because it's a new day. And instead of worrying about yesterday or worrying about the things that bother you, just even before the sun comes up, start praying and hope in thy word. Have your positive expectation that God's word will come to pass in your life. His promises are true. They'll take care of you. He'll be your deliverer and your savior. What a great way to live every day. In Psalm 143, every day's a new day. We just have to move on and let the past be the past. Excuse me. Psalm 143, verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord. Get with the program. Listen to me. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me. Excuse me. Lest I be like them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. I just want to know that you love me and you're going to take care of me every morning. Because every morning's a new day. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, O Lord. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. You see, these are all positive things moving forward. Not sitting back complaining about circumstances or complaining about the past. But he's saying, no, Lord, help me do your will. Help me listen. What does it say in James? If any of you lack wisdom, ask and it shall be given unto you. That's what he's saying. I want to do your will, Lord. I want to trust you. Give me a hand. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me. Make me alive, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. But what a great attitude in that entire section of Psalm 143. He's got some challenges, as we all do at times, but he's saying, help me out of it, Lord. Show me what to do. I trust you, and I know you'll take care of me. What a great, positive, forward-looking approach. Wonderful. Let's go to Lamentations 3, another very favorite section we've read before. Lamentations, after Jeremiah. Lamentations 3 and verse 21. Lamentations 3 and verse 21. Okay, Lamentations 3, 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. This is something he remembers, and that's the reason he's able to have hope. He's able to have a positive expectation for the future. Something to look forward to. He has that hope because he recalls this. And what is it he recalls? Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because none of us are perfect. And we don't deserve the things we have. But we have them because Jesus Christ paid for them. And that's why we now deserve them. We don't deserve them because we earned them, but we deserve them because Jesus Christ chose to give his life for us. And God chose to show forth his grace to take care of us in spite of our shortcomings. So it is of the Lord's mercies, verse 22, that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new how often? Every morning. Every morning's a new day. God's compassions are new every day. You didn't run out all his, you might have run out all his patience yesterday, but today's a new day, and his compassions are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Everybody wants their portion, their piece of the action, their something to hold on to. Well, the Lord is my portion, therefore will I seek hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation, the deliverance of the Lord. So sometimes we got to run about and yell and scream and do a lot, but after you've done what you can do, you just got to sit down and pray and quietly wait to see the salvation of the Lord in your life. And he'll always be there. He'll always come through. That's such a great section. I think I just have to read that again. Verse 21, this I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Awesome. Awesome stuff. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah in chapter 42. And here we go. We'll read the whole chapter. This is after the Babylonians have conquered Jerusalem, taken most of the people to Babylon as captives, left a small group there to sort of just, you know, trim the bushes and take care of the place so it didn't get overgrown. But at any rate, with this small group here, 42 verse 1, then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the east, least, even unto the greatest, came near. Oh, and after the king of Babylon took them captive, he set up one person of the royal family of Judah to be king, and he rebelled against the king of Babylon. Then he set another one up, and he rebelled. So finally got fed up with the royal family in Judah and put a commoner, a guy named Gedaliah, in charge. But some of the royal family who had escaped to another country nearby heard about it, and they didn't like it. So they came over and murdered Gedaliah. And now the people that are left are very worried because they figure the king of Babylon is going to come in and crush the place. So they go to Jeremiah and ask him what to do. Verse 2, and these people said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee our supplication, our request be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold. Verse 3, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Verse 5, they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. You know, double pinky swear, cross my heart and hope to die, or whatever you want. They said, whatever you tell us, we're going to do. We'll see if that's what happens. Verse 6, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee. Excuse me, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Remember what we read in Psalms about quietly waiting for the deliverance of the Lord? Well, He had to wait 10 days. See what the Lord said. Verse 8, then called he Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest. And he said unto them, verse 9, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me, to present your supplication before him. Now here's the answer. Verse 10, if you will still abide in this land, stay here, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I've done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. See, looking at it from a sense knowledge, a human point of view, they were convinced that the king of Babylon was going to come and destroy them all because some of the Judeans had killed his governor, Gedaliah. But the word of the Lord was, don't worry about it. I'll protect you. Stay here. You'll be fine. Verse 12, and I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, and neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, say, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we will see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now, therefore, verse 15, hear the word. It'd be like if somebody in New York State was worried about something and decided to go hide in Canada. Thought that was safe, and sometimes that would be. But if the word of the Lord was, stay in New York and I'll protect you, and if you go to Canada, you're going to die, well, that's the word of the Lord. Well, let's see what this says. Verse 15, now therefore hear the word of the Lord, you remnant of Judah, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly, entirely set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you in Egypt, and there you shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. And none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 18, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you, when you shall enter into Egypt, and ye shall be an execration, and an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. Verse 19. The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For you dissembled in your hearts. You weren't honest when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it unto you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, in the place whither you desire to go and sojourn. See, God provided a new way to live. They were in a terrible place. Their city had been destroyed. Almost everybody they knew had been taken captive. They were really scared of the king of Babylon, so they went to Jeremiah and asked him to ask the Lord what they should do. The Lord told them. The Lord provided a way forward for them to live safely and peacefully, go back to the lands they'd owned, and be fine there in Jerusalem. But they wouldn't believe it. So instead of doing what God said, they did the opposite, and they went to Egypt and died. And if we read further several chapters, they would come out and say, you know, we did much better when we, you know, worshiped the Queen of Heaven. It's when we tried to ask the God of Israel for help, that's when our lives fell apart. Well, it's not true. Their lives fell apart because they didn't trust in the God of Israel. And then when they went to Jeremiah the prophet and asked him to pray to the God of Israel for them, they ignored everything he said. So a great statement from years ago I heard was that God will provide a way when there is no way, but we must walk in the way which he's provided. And here's a great example. God did provide them a way to have safety when there basically was no answer because they were in a terrible war zone. But they didn't walk in the way God provided. So they went to Egypt and died. Well, in the same way, we may feel we're up against it and there is no way for salvation and deliverance. But God will provide a way when there is no way. We just need to walk in that way. And let's go to Mark. A couple more to wrap up here. Mark chapter 1. If anybody had challenges and pressures in his ministry, it was probably Jesus Christ. Think of the people he was up against, the things he did, and ultimately gave his life on the cross. Yet you know what he did to keep himself together? Mark 1:35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Because it was still between him and God. And that's the thing you got to realize in your life. No matter how many people you work with, no matter how many situations and projects and whatever you have responsibility for, it ultimately comes down to you and God. And if you start with that as your basis, sometimes we think the basis is a group of people or a circumstance or a business or one of the many things we all deal with every day. And we have to deal with them. But the basis of our life has got to be trusting God. So in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Isn't that awesome? Think about that when you're having a tough time, and maybe all the people and circumstances aren't working out the way you want. So what? Go find a quiet place and pray. What did we read in the Psalms? It's good that a man should quietly and peacefully wait for the salvation of the Lord. That's the way we live every day. And then we run about and do those other thousand things. But as Jesus Christ then ran about, and look at all the things he did with people. But he started with praying to God and getting his heart and mind in the right place before the true God and asking God for help. And here, talking about a new day in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't pretend to have everything figured out. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Just forget what happened in the past. It's over. Reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I go for what God's called me to do. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, and we're not perfect in our walk or in our minds, but spiritually we're perfect. Our Holy Spirit is perfect. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So don't worry about every detail in your life. Don't get stuck by what I often call perfection paralysis. Or I'm so worried that I'm not doing things perfectly, I won't do anything. We just walk the best we can before God. And if we're off the ball, God will show us. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let's mind the same thing. We don't know all everything about God and his word, but we know quite a few things. So let's just walk with that. Let's mind the same thing. And if in anything or otherwise minded, God shall reveal. Verse 13 again, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before. Always a new day. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for another great new year to live. We thank you for all the blessings we had in the previous year. And in this year ahead, may we trust you even more. May we see your blessings and your power at work in our lives even more. We thank you for this, for those we love that we can pray for, and that life can just go ahead trusting you, believing you, and walking with you every day. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.